Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a two-bit party, man.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we.
Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Day of the week, and like I said, we have a show for you. We have a very exclusive special guest coming on our show today, and it's going to be a beautiful show and a wonderful show. And I just want you to go ahead on and get your Kool-Aid, your orange juice, your power drink, your energy drink, your coffee, your tea, whatever, your smoothie, whatever you get in the morning, go ahead on and get it and snap in for the ride, because we're about to go on this wonderful roller coaster ride. And it'll go up and down and all around and in circles with information that is very important information, pertinent information, something that you can do something with. One of our subject matters and topics of the day for today, and I'll get into that in a minute, but first, before I get into that, I just can't help it. I can't help this. Okay, for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about, like I said, I don't own the rights to the music. I want to say that again. I don't own the rights to Marvin Gaye's music at all. I just want to make that clear and clarify why we're on Facebook, because they're real funny about that. But anyway, we've been talking about Will Smith, and I know we, you know, kind of are getting away from Will Smith a little bit, but I just want to, you know, get in this last week of what's going on with Jada and Will Smith. You know, I think that Will is a great actor. He's a great human being. He, you know, he made a mistake. And, you know, Chris is a great guy, and he's a good human being. And they're two African-American black males, and I hope that one day they can come up and shake hands and give each other a hug and allow this to, you know, be behind them, you know what I'm saying? But meanwhile, right now, we're dealing with it. Well, Jada Smith comes on, and she does an interview, and she says she wished that she really didn't want to marry Will Smith. She says she really didn't want to marry Will Smith. And this is why I'm saying, Will, why don't you go ahead on and get a divorce and just do a sabbatical and get away from her and get away from everybody and just go somewhere, you know, you got enough money to rent an island. Go rent you an island and go over there for about a month and just pray and meditate and clear your mind and get your life back in order, you know, because this is a whole lot to come back from, you know. Without God, you'll be in a whole lot of trouble without God on this. You've got to stay with God on this. And that's what I'm praying for Will Smith. I'm really praying that for him. But I feel like, Jada, if you didn't want to marry Will, then why did you marry Will? Why did you marry him? Did you marry him because he had all the money, the fortune, and the fame? Why did you marry him? I mean, you said that you really didn't want to marry him, but you married him anyway. What was your purpose is all I'm saying. And if God wasn't in it, it's going to be very difficult for Will and for Jada. And so I'm just saying, I'm praying for both of them to find God, because, you know, all this other stuff about the universe, I mean, I understand people saying the universe, that's cool. You can say whatever you want to say. Whoever your God is, you can serve who you want to serve. It says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. So you can serve who you want to. I can't tell you who to serve. But I know for me and my family, we're going to serve God. Amen. We're going to serve him from the beginning to the end, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So I'm praying that Will Smith will get away from Jada and find God. And I know we're not supposed to pray for people to break up, but I really feel like a lot of that was her fault, because she had control over how she wanted things to happen. She did not. She could have said, "Will, don't go up there." She could have said, "Will, not now." She could have, but she looked at him like, "Will, get up there and do something," and it destroyed his career. I mean, literally. So I just want you to know, we're praying for you, Will Smith. We're praying for you, Jada Smith. And when you love somebody, you don't ever do that to a person that you are married to and that you really love. I've never seen married people that really love each other really do things to each other in public or behind public. And then I saw a video that she did where she just walked up the wheel out of nowhere, and she turned on the video, you know, without his permission or without consulting him or anything, and she said, "Yeah, Will, tell everybody how great the counselor was. It helped us get our relationship back together." And then Will just looked at her, and he didn't say anything, for he paused. And then he said, "You know what, I wish you would let me know when you're going to go live, especially when you're talking about personal things like this." And I understand that. I completely understand that. I wouldn't want anybody, you know, if you married or not, don't go live without telling me. And then ask me a question about a marriage counselor, which is very personal. So I'm sure he didn't want to put his business out like that on live. And then he said, "You know what, I just don't want to do that." And this was her response. "You see, everybody, this is the foolishness I have to deal with on a regular basis." That was her statement to the public. And of course, Will had some choice words, but he didn't say it all at once right there on the spot. But he was very cordial, and he said it in a way where, you know, I wish you wouldn't do that without letting me know that we're going live and we're going to talk about our personal life, like counseling, marriage counseling. That's personal. I don't want to know about your marriage counseling. I don't want to know that the lady or man did a good job. All I want to know is that it worked for you guys. That's what I want to know. I want to know that it really actually worked and it was applicable to helping you get your relationship back on track. I don't need to go public and say, "Hey, I'm not going to go to my wife and say, "Hey, honey, tell everybody how great our counselor was," and then get upset and say some stuff like, "See this foolishness I got to deal with." So she's putting him down, and everything she said is to put down. It's not a lift. She should have said, excuse me, Will, would you like to go live? And then give him that choice, but just to go live. And then that's telling me more about her character. And her character is coming out more and more each day. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, Will, get a divorce and go rent an island and go over there. All you need is just, you know, don't have no women over there. Just have some males over there. You know, maybe someone to assist you in doing things, someone to, you know, and a pastor. I would like to meet you, Will Smith. If you ever see this, I would love to meet you and pray with you and go on a good journey of rehabilitation, rejuvenation, and restoration, and a purging of your spirit and your soul and your body, so that you could get a new life. Will, you deserve it, man. And here's a big hug from everybody around the world, because I know it's hard. That what you have to deal with right now is very, very hard. I know it is. No one person is an island. It takes a unit, a team, and a family to get things back in order. It takes a village to get things in order. So stay strong, Will. We love you, and God bless you. Without further ado, let's go to our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen. Let's get him in the studio. Good morning, Brother Clarence M. Allen, co-producer. How are you this morning?
Oh, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? I tell you what's going on. It's the show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Show, every Monday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eddie, you bringing the hot topics, man. Good morning to all our listeners throughout this state, nation, and around the world. Good morning to my other co-hosts and producers. Thank God for the show. I tell you, the actor Harry Lennox, man, he said Will Smith, he needs to come up and re-apologize. He needs to turn over that trophy,
yeah,
man, you know, because
yeah,
they gave him the power when he gave that trophy. That the power of the Oscars is in that awarded trophy that they give away. And,
yeah,
you know, they were slow because they never experienced nothing like this, but they had plenty of time to select a new actor of the year, male actor of the year at the Oscars. They didn't do it. They were asleep at the wheel. So, you know, I thought Will Smith did a nice apology at the end of the show, although he didn't say anything about apologizing to Chris Rock. Chris Rock,
right,
man, a stand-up guy, man, the way he is handling this, he handled
yes,
way more better than I would have. Because he wouldn't allow
yeah,
nobody to heckle or talk about Will Smith at any of his shows, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, props up to Chris Rock, man.
Hey,
we got
Clarence,
to give props to him.
You do. Hold that thought right there while we get Professor Reams, our co-producer, Professor Reams and Steele. Good morning, Professor Reams. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Pastor Jones. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Also, everyone, let's buckle up because we're going to be hitting some hot topics this week. But it's always good that it shows how we and how we love the Lord and how the Lord works with us, that we can show how we fellowship, how we handle issues, and how we go high whenever we're dealing with situations. So good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to everybody.
Professor Reams.
The regulator.
Amen, Professor Reams. Welcome. Amen. Okay, welcome to the show, my sister Vera Jones. Good morning, Vera Jones. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Eddie, Clarence, Professor Reams, all the listeners. I am doing wonderful. Thank you.
Wow. Okay, so let's see. I believe this is Linda Goldie. Call her in the 503-747 area code. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Linda Goldie. Welcome to the show all the way from Oregon. How are you this morning?
Well,
good morning,
I'm excited. Good morning. I'm glad to hear Professor Reams back again because we
missed
him.
Amen.
Amen. I'm excited because the Lord gave me a poem about the radio show.
Amen. I can't wait to. We're gonna hear that. I just can't wait. Now wait a minute now. Hey. And now, without further ado, let's get Talana Jones in the studio. Good morning. Good morning, Talana Jones, my daughter. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Dad. Good morning, Tom Vera, my butterfly. Good morning, Professor. Good morning, Clarence. Good morning, Linda, my poetess. Love you much. Welcome, everyone, and to all the listeners and everybody on Facebook. I love you all. Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Talana, it was your birthday on April the 2nd, and I don't own the rights to this music, but I sung this song to you when you were a little tiny baby, and now you are older and have your own children. But the first song is going to be, and I don't own the rights to this song, Facebook, okay? Happy birthday. Come on, everybody. Happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
All right. Okay. So happy birthday, Talana.
I love you all. Thank you.
Yes, and, you know, I'm just going to do just one bar of this song because it's your birthday, but I sung this to you when you were first born and every year after. I remember you and the first time that we looked in each other's eyes. I felt a warm surprise. I knew right then and there the love between you and I, the beginning of spring, softening, the blossoming everywhere. Yeah, you're that special love in my life. Good only for me, my April love, my April love. I never knew the joy you bring would delight me so. Just to know I have someone so close that really loves me, my April love. Happy birthday, Talana.
Wow. Happy birthday. Yay. April love.
Well, you're very welcome. You're kind of breaking up a little bit. Your phone was kind of breaking up. Did you say that again, Talana?
I just said my heart is warm. I said, thank you, Dad, so much. I appreciate that to life.
Now, wait a minute. You went on a little trip for your birthday really quick. Where did you go and what did you do?
Okay, briefly. So everyone, I don't share this always, but my middle name is Zion, and I was blessed to go to Salt Lake City, Utah, to Zion National Park for a hiking trip with my sister and sister friends. And it was pretty life-changing to go on this hike. I felt like God was with us the entire trip. It was so amazing, so much that I only will share this snippet, but it was like very towards the end of our last hike. And as we get to the end of the hike, there were some women who were encouraging all of us to release our anger away to the mountain before we leave the trail. And so we were all encouraged to do it together, but everybody was kind of, you know, trying to figure out how to release their anger. So my sister nudged me and said, Talana, you know, why don't you try as well? And go ahead and, you know, release your anger. And so I just looked around at everybody, and I was kind of waiting my turn. But since, you know, I was given the opportunity, I just, you know, seized the moment. And I did, you guys. So I looked for the most echoey pocket of the trail inside of the mountain, and I screamed to the top of my lungs so loudly and so much that the women around me were so happy to see that I released my anger that they wanted to all join in. So all of us together as a group, we all took a shout together on the count of three and screamed as loud as we could, and we released all our anger. Everyone cried. It was an emotional but powerful moment. And when we got to the bottom of the trail, the young lady who asked us to release our anger, she also had a daughter named Trinity. My granddaughter's name is Trinity. So I felt like my granddaughter was also with us in spirit. So it really turned out to be awesome. Even with, you know, like the hike going up was kind of difficult for me, but I still made the best of the trip. Everything was great.
Now, Talana, you left out one part, the part where you guys all screamed and it echoed throughout all the mountains that were around you.
It echoed so much, everyone, that there were tourists around us looking funny, like if everything was okay or not, like they thought we, you know, something was wrong or something tragic had happened because we were all shouting to the mountain. But it was just the release of, you know, letting go anything that you're holding with inside that you can no longer have control over and just release. So I did. I thought that was a big manifestation of God's love because it was two or more of us and we were all gathered in and we shared that holler together as a group. So I thought that was awesome.
Well, let's give Talana a big birthday. Let's give Talana a birthday, a big hand for a birthday there. Right on, Talana.
Amen.
Right on.
Thank you for sharing. That was beautiful.
Now, with that being said, I want to add this to that. When you do go on something like a hike up in Utah, at Zion Park in Utah, and you get to go up to the top of the mountains, and then you can scream out, and I saw the pictures, they're just immaculately beautiful. That just takes me back to what Moses did when he had to go up in the mountains and he had to meditate, and then the burning bush came and God talked to him up there. Sometimes we got to get away from everything and go up to the mountains and just scream out and have a good time and relax and let go of everything and let God, talk to you, you know.
Wow.
And I'm praying that for Will Smith, that he'll go to the mountaintop and talk to God. And I'm going to go right back on the subject, and then we're going to get into our topic. And our guest is not in the studio yet, but we're still going to go on. The show must go on. But let's talk a little bit about Will one more time. Jada said that she really didn't want to marry Will. Okay, so if you don't want to marry him, then why did you marry him? That's the question. And then I saw a video where she went live without asking Will, and she walked up to him and said, I'm going to repeat this because some of the show members might not have heard it. Some people didn't hear it, so I'm going to repeat it one more time. She said, Will, why don't you tell everybody how good our counselor was getting our marriage back in place and back together and on the right track? So Will turned around and looked at her and said, I wish you would let me know when you're going live. You know, I'm a celebrity. I might not want to go live, especially under these conditions or the way that I'm feeling right now. So she turned to the camera and said, okay, you guys, you see this foolishness I got to deal with? And I'm like, why would a wife say that on live? No wife should do her husband like that, and no husband should do his wife like that. So I'm just really quick, just want to go around just really quick and get some quick feelings about this, and I'm going to start with Professor Reams. Professor Reams, what do you think about what Jada did to Will, and what do you think about Will getting a divorce and maybe going on a sabbatical up in the mountains?
Well, Pastor Jones, remember, I've been, this has been years in hearing about the different couples, because when you're with, like, many of the Hollywood organizations that we're a part of, whether stuntsmen or with, dealing with folks that are unionized, you hear the rumors of the different marriages that are going on. That's why with a lot of the celebrity marriages, they have a whole program devoted to YouTube on what worked and what didn't work and what was going on. And that there's always an internal aspect of internal jealousy or so that goes on when one does well and one doesn't do well. So to have that to happen, I've heard of worse things with other celebrities. So at least this was a little bit less active, because you think about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard and the trauma that they're going through and the abuse that he's gone through overall, and then back and forth with other abusive relationships. So it doesn't surprise me, no, because, of course, we hear about these things, but we can't confirm them until they bubble up. But with the idea that this has now ruined both of their careers in some way, shape, or form because of how it's being talked about, of course, Will Smith being banned for 10 years from the Academy in itself,
yeah,
after all the hard work that all of us have put towards him, especially in his first days from Fresh Prince all the way up to this level, along with him calling up Denzel Washington and also – counseling the other comedians, such as Chris Rock, on materials and things to do and what not to do. This has still been, as you can see, it's resonating because we thought that we were doing it right at this time with our own, but you know how fame is. So what normally happens is that when there is a separation, then that's when the person, as has been suggested, just bows mm-hmm. out of the public eye for a while. You know, you can name any star that just decided to take hiatus, whether it's going to rehab or going to this or going to that. And so I agree that now is the time he can still, the good thing is that he can still make movies and make money. It's just that will studios take a risk on him because of all things that have happened? And we can't, and of course the fans will do it, but are the fans enough to make sure that his career is sustainable? That's the thing that Netflix and some of the other places he was looking at doing his movies were looking at. So one of the things that's good is when the person takes a rest, leave of absence, or a little bit of vacation for let everything to dry, to kind of rest out a little bit. And this would be the time of the self-reflection, as you've mentioned. Has more than enough money to go to one of his retreats, or they have homes around the world, and just to get to know himself and what he's doing, because artistically he has reached his pinnacle by receiving the Academy Award for his acting, which is what he'd been working on for 30 years, if you think far back of how when he started. Okay,
he's
now coming to the balance on, okay, I've been acknowledged as being a actor and, for my outstanding work, and as a visionary for the great work that he did for the recent movie. But now I need to get in contact with me as a human being and reestablish that connection, not with the universe, you know, we talk about that, but with the Lord himself on just a lot of reflection, a lot of prayer, almost like the 40 days that Jesus spent in his pilgrimage, just to see where do you need me. You said in your speech you want to be a good person or so. Great. That's a good start. Now you need to go with the Father and see where he wants to take you before you come back. And then, of course, when that happens, you can come back. He'll cover you. He'll have your back. And then you can move forward. It's amazing how folks, when they leave out, come back, they do even better than what they did before. So that's my prayer and my hope, and hopefully he'll take you up on your offer, Pastor Jones, but I yield back to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Let's give a big hand. That was so nice, Professor Jones. Thank you very much. That was well said, well said, well said, well said. I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera, Jada, she went live and didn't ask Will, and Will, I would be upset too if my wife went live and didn't tell me and then ask me a question about my counseling and stuff. But what do you feel like Will should get a divorce and go, be at peace with himself, and or what do you feel about what Jada did? Go right ahead, Vera.
Well, it was well said by Professor Rames. However, between the two of them, I'm not sure what the relationship, because we are not there. We see what we see on TV or what we may hear, but there is time for change and renewal, and every day is a great time to do that. So I'm not really sure, like I said, their relationship. And I did hear you mention earlier how she didn't really want to get married, but they did get married, and perhaps with her going live, maybe she felt some type of way, and I won't say she did it the correct way, but maybe she felt some type of way, and she wanted to let people know that, hey, I'm going to counseling now. I actually do love this man. However, I didn't do this or perhaps that. So that's my opinion, Eddie.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Vera. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, let's go to Talana. Talana, thank you, Vera. Thank you very much. And thank you, Vera. I want to go to Talana. Talana, Jada said she didn't want to marry Will. I guess she wanted to marry Tupac, but Tupac got murdered, and so she couldn't marry Tupac. And Will by no means is no kind of Tupac guy at all, period. He's a whole different rapper from Tupac, and he wasn't a gangster rapper. Will Smith was just a R&B rapper. But for Jada to say, I didn't want to marry you, and for Jada to go live without his permission on more than one occasion, even on the red table. She shocked him on the red table. He was, you could look at him and see he just went pale when she said, I've had an entanglement with my son's friend. And Will looked like, he looked like he had no idea. She just didn't tell him she was going to say that on the show, live, on the red table. So I go back and look at the video if you like. But, you know, anyway, Talana, go right ahead. What do you think? You think Will should get a divorce and move on? And Jada didn't want to marry him anyway? Or was it for just some money? Go right ahead, Talana. Take the floor.
Thanks, Zach. Personally, I do recall when they celebrity marriages first started, it was more like a paid situation than just growing a real relationship and really, you know, gravitating towards each other, learning each other's likes and dislikes and all of that, and the covenant that comes along with marriage. It was just a show. Mm-hmm. So Jada to say that, I just feel like it's another, you know, gimmick, something else for, you know, society right now to just kind of beam and hone in on, just because of, you know, the situation and how he had a traumatic moment at the Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. And nobody can really attest to how Will is actually feeling right now except for his family. So that's, to do that is disrespectful, and it also says a lot about their relationship. So, I mean, yes, I do feel like, you know, taking a sabbatical, possibly, you know, having some time for Will for himself is not bad at all. And also, I think that Jada should check herself, because that's he was defending Jada's honor. And it might not have came out the right way. And yes, the apology was most necessary. Just to remember, like, that's to me, that's kind of priceless. Chivalry in certain instances around our states is dead. The way people treat each other is bad now. It's becoming more and more weird by the day. So I'm not surprised at, you know, at Jada's comment, but I am surprised at the fact that she would disrespect herself, her husband, and her family on social
media. There it is right there.
And not pick up for him. Like, that's rude to me. No.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that all you have to say, Talana?
Yes, that concludes my statement. Thank you for letting me share.
All right, let's give a big hand for Talana. Thank you, Talana, for sharing that with us. Thank you very much, very, very much. Now, we're going to go to Linda Goldie, who's down in Oregon, and she is our most mature person on the show. So without further ado, Linda Goldie, Jada Smith says she felt like she shouldn't have married Will Smith. She went live without his permission and was just putting his business out there. Then she took him on the red table and told him that she was involved in an entanglement. If it was me, I'm just saying, if it was me, Linda, I would get a divorce, especially if you're in an entanglement with my son's friend, you know. And let's break down entanglement. I had sex with my son's friend. Let's just keep it real, okay? Now, I'm not saying Jada's the worst person in the world, but that's just not right. Will's out there working, making movies, and she's at home living in a multi-million-dollar home with multi-million-dollar accessories and access to very large amounts of cash at any moment. And I'm sure Will has probably looked at his checkbook and said, what did you do? You didn't even call me and tell me, but you put me on live without my permission. But anyway, go right ahead, Linda Goldie. Take the floor.
Okay, well, there's two things that really come to my mind. And one is that money is not everything. And the other thing is that anytime you're in the public eye, you know, especially in an entertainment venue, that you're constantly being shadowed by people that are wanting to take your picture, that people that are wanting to find out, you know, details about your private life. And I think that it puts a lot of stress on a marriage to begin with. Even if it started under ideal conditions, which of course it didn't. You know, so I think in under the circumstances with the pressure, you know, I could kind of understand maybe a little bit why all of this happened. But on the other hand, it doesn't make it right. And I wouldn't blame Will for any reason to take a sabbatical. I think it would do him good. And I think that he should get a divorce under the circumstances. He has a legal right to do that. And it's just deplorable, but that's the cost of fame. You know, anybody that's in the public eye in a big way is going to be hounded by photographers and newspaper reporters and everybody else. So it's a very stressful life, and people should think twice before they consider whether it's worth the cost.
Wow, that's really deep. Thank you very much. Let's give Linda Goldie a big hand for sharing that. It is such the responsibility to be in the celebrity status, I'm not trying to brag or boast, but even working in the civil rights arena, whether you want to believe this or not, you're at a certain celebrity status because I'm in the public's eye, I'm on the radio, I'm on TV, I'm on the news, and I've had people come up to me and say, hey, can I just shake your hand, and we like the work you do. I always high-five the kids, and I never always say hi to the kids because the kids are our future, and I say hi to everybody, you know. And that's just the whole part. But imagine being with Will Smith and going through what he's going through right now. It's unbelievable. So we're praying for the Smith family. We definitely, you know, I don't care what you say, everybody needs God. Some people don't realize that until they hit rock bottom. Look, Tiger Woods didn't know that he needed God until he hit rock bottom. Michael Jackson didn't know that he needed God until he hit rock bottom, and he came and said he needed help. Everybody needs help. And some people will ask for help and get it, and some people, a closed mouth can't get fed, and a closed hand cannot receive. So I hope that Will is open to rehabilitating his life after all this trauma. And we send out blessings to the Will Smith family and the Chris Rock family too. All right, moving right along. We're about to get into our topic and just a few minutes here. And our first topic and subject matter, and give me just 1 second here. Our first topic and subject matter is, let's see, let me get here. Okay, our first topic. We're finally going to get some reparations. And who will get the reparations and how will it be divvied out? We're finally getting our reparations, but we still haven't got it yet. But we're going to get it, but we still haven't received it yet. it's on the table. It's on the table this time. And, I don't know if the bills are signed or not yet. I've been reading up on it. It sounds controversial. That's why we're going to talk about it. And I do definitely want to start off with Brother Clarence M. Allen, who earlier talked a little bit about Will Smith. But now I want to talk about reparations, man. We're finally supposed to get our reparations. Brother Clarence, but here's the clause. They said they want to make sure they give it to people who are the ancestors of slaves. That's one of the requirements. And President Biden has not signed the bill yet because he's up in the air because he said that Indians should also get reparations while we're getting it. But I thought the Indians are already receiving their reparations. They got casinos and all kinds of stuff going on and their land and is protected by the government, and they get checks every month. Go ahead, Brother Clarence Mellon, take the floor. Are we going to get reparations now, and are we going to get it real soon? Go right ahead. Where are we at?
Yes, Pastor Eddie. I was watching a show called The Black Table, and they were showing the committee with Al Green, Maxine Waters, and some other politicians on the committee, and they was listening to these professors and these doctors. They were very well informed and knowledge of the inside out of slavery. And so what they were proposing was a national slavery day, because we have 9/11, we have Pearl Harbor, Death Mother Memorial Day for the atrocities that have happened across this land in this nation. I thought it was a wonderful thing to introduce a day to remember this dark shadow that looms over the history of the United States. And so also inside of these proposals, they were talking, it was mentioned about reparations and how it should be first. And so when we do the recording of our ancestors, of the descendants of American slaves, there is a way to find out who's alive today and and who is an ancestor of an American slave. So, yes, this should have been given out before even this war with Ukraine, you know. This should have been given out before even some of those other European wars where they give it out these millions. Every time it comes around to talk about reparations, it seemed like something else happened, and then reparations get pushed to the side, up under the table, put into the desk drawer until they solve another issue that arises. So, you know, nothing is sealed, nothing is signed yet. I can stand by the mailbox, stand next to my checking account, nothing has hit. So, you know, they even gave out stimulus. You know, they could have done reparations. So, you know, I think it should be more than a monetary thing, because we have lost out with education, with the financial institutions, man. We're looking at the loan company, the history of these banks that done loans and pawned slaves and sold slaves and insured slaves. So this is a deep sore to sort out, to figure out not just who should get it, but how they should be reimbursed. You know, the oppressions that we have to go through, we up under the sole of just about every cultural shoe that walks this planet. You know, especially when they come into this country, next thing you know, they're walking all over us, the next people. So this is a great topic for discussion, and that's why we have the Eddie Justin Jones Blog Talk Radio Show.
Wow, thank you, Brother Clarence, man. Thank you, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Thank you, Brother Clarence. Well said. Before I go to Professor Reams, our real professor on our show, a professor who does social justice, and he's also a professor of music. If you ask me, he plays a very wonderful musical instrument, and he is very amazing. He's also a great writer and a great teacher and a great professor. What are reparations? What are reparations? And I'm talking to everybody out there. If you're African American, or 1% African American, or 10%, 20%, 50%, or 100%, I'm talking to you right now. This is very important, pertinent information. I hope you let us sink into the resonance of your heart and mind. This is important. We're talking about something that our ancestors worked blood, sweat, and tears, castrated, hung, beat, thrown out in the sun, just unbelievable atrocities that they had to go through for us to be here in the position that we're in today. And we should never take that lightly. We should pay close attention to how things are evolving as far as us getting reparations, which is long, long, long overdue. What are reparations? As its heart, reparation refers to compensation, which might include a national apology, educational, housing, and health care programs, financial redress from the U.S. government to African Americans for the harm of slavery and beyond. H.R. 40, which has not yet been passed by Congress, would establish a commission to study and develop national reparations proposals. Legislation that begins this process cannot be passed soon enough. We believe that the process of truth-telling, redress, and healing must also happen on a personal level in addition to a national level. And in fact, that national reparations can be influenced in this way. Relationships between members of different descendants, families, people who are of descendants of the enslaved and of enslavers, and also beyond slavery, people who are members of the caste that has been systematically oppressed and also the caste that has been systematically privileged are foundational. If we really want to heal our national wounds and work towards closure, we should give reparations. So this is what it's all about. Without further ado, let's go to Professor Reams. Please take the floor. Are we really going to get reparations? And if we do, how are they going to divvy it up, Professor? Go right ahead.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Reparations, of course, has been a year-long thing, and as Pastor Jones has mentioned historically, I'll also add that this Bill 40, has been around for almost 40 years, because starting with John Conyers, he was using and filing it and bringing it up every year ever since the Japanese were able to get reparations through the act that they approved overall. And one of the amazing things about it was that Sheila Jackson Lee took up this in 2017 to continue the fight. So now at this point in time, with them having 260 Democratic politicians vote, that's where we're at this point. And then to have this conversation with President Biden is also a miracle in itself, because the fact that every time we looked up, there's always a problem. But I agree with Clarence. It should have been the first thing right out the gate when the administration started, because then we would have resolved the issue since they're able to do the same process. I mean, the pandemic did show one thing, that if it were monetary, that the government could send checks directly through electronically to be able to make the reimbursement. And not that we're looking at 40 acres and a mule, but at least something that can be agreed upon where everyone is going to get some type of reimbursement overall. And then how this gets about resolving the issues of racism, that's also another issue that comes up. So this is where we are. The federal government is in a little bit of, not turmoil, but in a political situation once again, because we have the war. That's why it is important that for voting situation that we continue to have our majority and expand that majority in the Senate and also in the House, because otherwise if the other side gets in, it's going to get buried. So that's why voting is important. The reason why I say that is on the federal level, it's in limbo. On the state level, on the other hand, which is part of the way the Supremacy Clause works, is that if there's nothing or if the federal government doesn't have anything in place, then the states can, in and of themselves, provide reparations to each of their citizens for that state. And so far, you can be happy to know that California is the first state to do that, because Governor Newsom, because we voted him in and covered his back, was able to 2 years ago vote in that we're looking at the scholarship of what would reparations look like and who would be eligible. The vote just recently focused on, as you've already stated, that it will be looking at lineage overall. Now, what this will look like, this is what my colleagues are going to be looking at it. What will be the best way to allocate Californian funds on addressing this? Because we talked about, again, the issues of slavery, the hanging, the Jim Crow, segregation of the 20th century, segregation of the military, and redlining. But now this is more towards an economic development scenario. Because one thing that they did mention is that African Americans have not had the privilege, because we did not get the GI Bill, nor did we get assistance from HUD after World War II, that a lot of the wealth that many of other people of color and also whites have had is to have some type of property of housing of some type, which has either been purchased or has been given to family members as part of the will. So land has always been that area which has made the difference, which is why at this point in time it is a 1-to-10 ratio, because I always say for every $1 that a person of color, African American, makes, the others make $10, which means there's going to be a disparity when it comes to long-term wealth. So that translates, if a household of African Americans is 17,000, then the household of white Americans is 170,000 on average. Now, we have to take in consideration that we have billionaires that kind of skew this number, but you get the idea. So the focus of reparations is going to look like a package of education, a package of investment, possibly a package of wealth building, where money is allocated in some way, shape, or form for those to build that wealth and build that family wealth together. And definitely, if proven, that would be a full economic package that would help them both if they need to go back to school, if they need to fix things up, because, of course, if they're behind in their bills, right, you know, like we all are in our bills, then that would be a way to pay off the debts so that you can focus on more savings as a way of making up the difference. And then further investment in other areas such as land, such as Wall Street, and anything else that's available, or even the development of our own businesses that would allow us to have perpetual wealth for quite some time. So the thing about it is land, money, savings would be a good start. Part of it may also mean leading into how institutions are available, such as police departments, community policing, and all these other things that can also lead to it. But we're talking about, it will also depend on where each person who proves that they're connected to a family member who was a former slave or born during that time, what their needs are at the time, and how best that whatever reparations is given will help that need. So it might be definitely on an individual basis, but there might be some common themes. But education, I believe, would be the biggest thing to make sure that from K to 12 to college, that there would be a fund for all of our babies to make sure that they get to college and get a good job. So, and that would be ideal. But they won't know, for California specifically, until probably 2023, which is what the bill had indicated, that the scholars would get together, come up with who's eligible, and then break down what that reparations package would look like. So it's to be seen. And I'm not sure if they have a website, but all scholars are putting their two cents, including if you talk to your assemblymen, if you talk to your councilmen, overall they're involved in what this is going to look like for California. It's our hope that this will also happen in New York and New Jersey and all the blue states that are enlightened to resolve it. Now, if this happens on the state level, then it goes back to Lyndon Baines Johnson thing, like, you know, I believe in what you say, now make me do it, sort of thing, which would then perpetuate this indecision of who should get what. Then it forces the federal government to make the signature. But once again, we're not in a good place if President Biden's approval rating is at 40% and the other side gets in and wants to bring back number 45 as their authoritarian leader. So everyone, as I've said before, get ready to vote as if your life depends on it, because it shall. But for us in California, we avoided the recall. He's also on track to get reelected now, because after the recall. So we should be good for the next 4 years to make sure that this happens within the next year to the 2023. So, Pastor Jones, I yield back to you.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Reams. That was amazing. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. If you want to call into the show, and I should have said this a long time ago, dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. And press 1 if you want to get in the queue and you want to talk about reparations, or you have a question about reparations. If you want to listen online, go to blogtalkradio.com. Blogtalkradio.com. On the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S. Blogtalkradio.com. And on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. _productions with an S, and you can see all the pictures of all the people on the show and some pictures of our guests and other pictures on there of me and the show itself. All right, now, remember, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And every African-American, African, black, Negro, whatever you want to, colored, whatever you want to call us, I don't care what you call us, as long as you know who we really are, and we're the kings and queens of this planet called Earth. We are the emperors and empresses of this planet called Earth. And we do deserve our reparations. Even the people from Ukraine are getting reparations from America. They're getting reparations right now from America for something they didn't have to do nothing but just have a war, and we sent $1 billion to them. If they can send $1 billion to Ukraine right here from America, they can send us $1 trillion in America. So without further ado, I'm going to go to my daughter, Talana Jones. Talana Jones, please take the floor. Give us your take on reparations. Are you ready for reparations? Are we going to get it? And what are we going to do with it when we get it? Go right ahead.
Thank you, guys. I absolutely do believe our deserve reparations, and it is speaking on 2.6 million African Americans receiving reparations and being, or who might possibly be eligible for receiving reparations. And it says that they put together a reparations task force last Tuesday, and that right there, the platform to put a list of enslaved African Americans, U.S., or free black people living in the country before the end of the 19th century. So it is, to me, long overdue.
You're kind of breaking up because you take your phone's on speaker. Yeah, take it off speaker. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll say the last part one more time.
Okay.
It was saying that the California's task force has put together a platform to define the eligible African Americans for reparations. And they're saying that descendants of maybe 2.6 million African Americans can be eligible for this reparations program, I guess we can call it a program, or even to reallocate and give back all of the things that we have been wronged for is long overdue. I just really do believe that. And the last part says, this is the LA Times article I'm reading from, you guys. So the very last part says, much of the discussion among the task force members focused on differing interpretations of the state law, and they created a panel on whether all black Californians should receive some form of reparation, or because of the lasting effects of slavery and the discrimination that has continued long after the abolition, would it be like after a tense debate and a group voted to either tie the reparations to lineage or to, as I said earlier, only the people who have been living in the country before the end of the 19th century. So it's saying that some of us are eligible to receive it, but they're not speaking of all African Americans being able to receive the reparations. So that doesn't – I don't completely agree with that. I feel like we should all receive, especially knowing that being of African descent, that we all have descendants who have come from slavery. So
yes.
How would that be fair if they don't accommodate everyone who deserves it?
I agree. Well, thank you very much, Talana. Let's give her a big hand for Talana. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Yes. So, I used to have some claps on my show. I'm going to get them again. So you hit the button, it starts clapping in the studio. But Very well said, Tawana. I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, take the floor. They keep saying that they're going to give us reparations, and now they got to go back to the table and work on it again and go back to the table and vote on this and vote on that. Just give us our reparations. Go ahead, Vera, take the floor. What do you think about reparations? Are we going to get it or not?
Well, Eddie, I feel that we will get it. And, yes, everything takes a little time, a little planning, and they have to keep going back to the drawing board. But, yes, because I have a question for each and every one of you. Could you personally could have survived back when our great-great-great-great-great parents lived? Because
no.
They experienced so many things, abuse, injuries, killings, rape, hangings, chopping, kicking, stabbing, all of those things. And could you have survived? And it would have been really difficult for me. So it's not going to take away the pain that they experience. However, it will make some type of compensation for what happened during our time of slavery.
Wow. Thank you, Vera. Thank you, Vera. Let's give Vera a big hand. Everybody gets a hand. Everybody give each other a hand. Because this is not an easy subject, not an easy topic. It's not, you know. But let's go to Linda Goldie. Let's go to Linda Goldie because, Linda Goldie, you know, you live in Oregon. And, you know, some people in Oregon don't want to see African-Americans or coloreds or blacks or Negroes get reparations. Well, how do you feel about that, Linda Goldie? Go right ahead.
Well, that's one of the reasons I never wanted to move back here. Anyway, I agree with everything that's been said. I particularly agree that all black Americans, regardless of what the percentage of their, you know, blood is connected to a former ancestor, is they should all get reparations, and it should be done speedily. It shouldn't involve a lot of bureaucratic red tape and, you know, having to prove that you had a descent. I mean, you know, if they look at you and see that the color of your skin is black, you should get it, period. You know, it shouldn't be a big hang up like they want to make everything. They want to make everything a big hang up so that people will get discouraged, and then when they get their small reparations, it's not even going to compensate for what you've gone through.
Wow, wow. Wow. Is that all you have to say, Linda?
Yeah, that's basically
it. Let's give a big hand for Linda Goldie. And this is so true. This is so true. If people aren't thinking, but this dude is really trying to get back in office, okay? T-Rump is trying his best to get back in office. And after he pulled a coup on the United States of America, told people to attack the state capitol, and told people to attack people of certain colors, this guy has the audacity to run for president again. And if he makes it in the White House, it's only because we didn't do our job. We need to do our job. And you're not going to get reparations if you don't stand up and fight for it. Either we're going to stand up for something or we're going to fall for anything. But the time is right now. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. We need to be ready to make our voices heard about our vote and about reparations. I mean, this is long overdue. People can come from other, the Haitians can't even come here, but the Ukrainians can. Okay, that's not right. Okay, I don't care how you look at it. Everybody should be able to come to America. If you're gonna let other people come in, then this is the melting pot of the United States of America. Everybody wants to come to Los Angeles, California, Beverly Hills. Everybody wants to come to the United States of America. By any means necessary, they're coming. And so reparations is long overdue, and I'm going to close out with this right now, and we'll revisit it hopefully in the next 6 months that they pass the bill, and then now they're trying to see how they're going to divvy it up and pass it out to the people who are long overdue and very deserving of their reparations. And the problem, the fear of the government is that once you give African American people the money that they deserve, they're going to be balling out of control and buying up all the property, and that's what we should be doing. Elon Musk is doing it. Bill Gates is doing it. And if you have the money, you should do it too. Matter of fact, everybody on this show should go get at least 1 acre of land and grow your own greens and vegetables and corn on the cob and tomatoes and everything else, fruit trees and everything, because that time is coming, and it's coming very, very soon. All right, so we're going to move away from our first topic, reparations, and when are we going to get it, and are we really going to get it, and is reparations real? Yes, it's real. H.R. 40 is very real. But it was said, as it was said by our professor, Professor Reams, our co-producer of the show, that it's been sitting on the table for a minute, and now it's time to do something with the bill. And now it's in discussion with the powers that be from our community, from all over the United States of America. So get ready, and I really believe we'll see it in our lifetime. Okay, our next subject matter is very sensitive, because a lot of African-American people depended on this organization to help make change in our community. And it's going to be, you know, I mean, I'm only going to go from the articles that I've read about what's going on. And our next subject and topic matter is, okay, hold on. Do black lives really matter? And if they matter, let's talk about it. Do black lives really matter? Everybody knows that the organization Black Lives Matter came out, you know, and, you know, my organization was out there, too. I was out there at the George Floyd. You know, I was out there with Ahmaud Arbery's family, both of their families, and other subjects and topics and civil rights issues that have roles in our community. But when Black Lives Matter came, everybody was like, yeah, Black Lives Matter. But there was a mission behind that. And I read a few articles that some of the Black Lives Matter just bought a $9 million. They were given over $100 million. I understand that some of the top officials of Black Lives Matter are just kind of walking away from the organization, and they're no longer a part of it. Well, here's the question. What happened to all of that money that was given to Black Lives Matter? I've had people call me and say, I'm so upset. I called Black Lives Matter and they couldn't help me when my son got shot in the street. I heard people say Black Lives Matter, this, that, and the other. And you could go online and you can read about what happened to Black Lives Matter for yourself, so you can see that I'm not just saying this. It's public information. So that's why I'm discussing it, because I've already read about it and I've already analyzed and evaluated it and put it in perspective where we could discuss it on the show. Do Black Lives really matter? And where is Black Lives Matter? And how are they buying these expensive cars and homes, and what kind of money is going back into the community? You know, and I understand that some people were upset with Black Lives Matter because they didn't do the things that they said they were going to do. Their other agenda was to get people to vote, and that's how Biden got in office, through Black Lives Matter. And you know, people voting to get people in office. But I cannot go any further without going to our professor, Professor Reen, who can talk to you and talk to all of us about Black Lives Matter. Without further ado, Professor Reams, take the floor. Do Black Lives really matter? And what's going on with Black Lives Matter, the organization? How are they able to spend money that should be going back into the community on themselves? Please take the floor, Professor Reams.
Well, one of the situations that occurs with many, many organizations, this happened with the SCLC, this happened with the NAACP, and then Black Lives Matter was added to that, is that there's an evolution that does occur. First of all, there is a champion of a cause that comes up, and then there is a great deal of information that people are incited about because of the possibility of change. And since the process was a little bit different, because when you had the Civil Rights March with King and also with Malcolm X and even with Jesse Jackson, there was a personal point person, a personality that represented the entire organization. So when something mm-hmm. would go wrong, then you would attribute it to that particular person. But as you saw with the FBI and also all the things that are going on and also with the folks that are on the other side, killing that leader led to a separation and a leadership void that caused that particular movement to either change its course or die out completely. What Black Lives Matter did was that they didn't put their focus on an individual's personality. They made what President Obama mentioned and also what the Black Panthers were thinking of is that each person was the change that they were waiting for and believe in. So each Black Lives Matter's location dealt with the issue for that region that made sense for that particular group. And that's why there wasn't one person that you could call out. There were many people that you could call out. But as in any organization, once money begins being given to them, and then there's a political agenda that occurs, then that's when things begin to falter because there are things that were happening with Benjamin Hooks that occurred with Hollywood, which in the NAACP had opportunities to change, but then he was kind of bought off. There are things that were happening with LCLC and all these other groups where when the money starts rolling in, our human nature starts up. So when you're looking at what allowed the organization to reach this level, everything's well and good. But once they reach that level and everything stagnates, that's when you see the cracks in the direction. You see folks spending more money or being able to buy this and buy that. And then they're now at the top of the rung because NAAC and SCLC were moved to the side because they had a new player in town. And many times, with what's going on, because they were so potent, because they were so large, then they built up the following of comfort. And in this comfort, that's when you're seeing the cracks happen, such as not doing what they're supposed to do, getting politicians involved, and having money coming in, but using the name to, you know, better place themselves in better positions. And that's why some will leave, because the original purpose has now been compromised now that folks have made it. Or some will leave who have made it because they've already made their money, and then they'll just leave off and go somewhere else or start their own section. The pressure, as we talked about, similar to what happened with Will Smith overall, is that after being in the light, in the public light so much, that a change happens. And that's why the ego gets in, and the changes will occur. Now, if right. the organization is called out on all of these things and its credibility, then I would hope, as a nonprofit would be, or that their board would say, okay, we need to regain the trust of the people. Otherwise, our organization is a shell of what it could have been or what it should continue to be as we're getting to this this point. Because I would hope that seeing that our democracy is in trouble would be the clarion call to say, look, this is no time to pat yourself on the back. Just having a Democratic president is not enough, because guess what? If the Republicans get in, they have vowed that they will impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Oh my God.
And if they take the Senate, they will remove him based on those false impeachment accusations that they'll have. And then what's going to happen? If the authoritarian comes in, our show, Black Lives Matter, and some of the others will be labeled as terrorists or folks that are questioning the leader's behavior. And then we have what happened in Nazi Germany for the rise of Hitler, when all of these opposition leaders slowly disappeared and a new regime was put into place. So right now is not the time for comfort, and the good Lord is yelling this in our ears, do not sit down or sit this out. So this is
right.
what has happened with Black Lives Matter. Now, if you ask the question, do Black Lives Matter? Absolutely, because I'm involved in committees at universities talking about diversity, inclusion and equity. And each time they come to me as the canary in the coal mine to say, well, what can we do so that when we speak to our people of color, speak to African Americans, we're not making the same mistake that has caused the animosity and the trauma that many of people of color are facing when they're trying to come to college and or dealing with people of color so that we can get along. And I'm happy to do that. But I also think that this is all going to change because of critical race theory and the restrictions that are being done, where that voice and that conversation will get squelched because one side does not want to be made uncomfortable being reminded of the things that historically have happened, such as our discussion of reparations. And if it means keeping us quiet and saying, be quiet assimilate, your past doesn't matter, that's the narrative mm-hmm. that they're going to use. So any sort of argument that is made that, well, this is not the truth, this is not history, will be rewritten and squelched. And if it means stepping out or even putting more people in jail, then so be it. The leader will have the final word. That's where we are now in 2022. So what has happened with Black Lives is it raises a power, things begin to crack, the institution is not, mission is now being compromised, and so now either it has to, like Will Smith, go somewhere and think about how it wants to move forward, or it'll just be bought off like any other organization and be a shell of what it was before when it began. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Well, thank you very much, Professor Reams. Professor Reams, you knocked
Professor
that one
Reams.
Out the park. You knocked that one out the park. Before we go to Clarence M. Allen to get his take on Black Lives Matter, the organization, and do Black Lives really matter, I want to read something to you really quick. One of the founders of Black Lives Matter, and you can read it for yourself. A lot of people were upset because they said that they found out that it was a lot of gay women in the organization that was running the organization. Now, read it for yourself, okay? I'm just giving you what I've already read. People are unhappy that they were calling the organization and asking for help and not getting help, the help that they asked for. And it wasn't even about money. It was supporting certain people. Patrice Colliers, she's stepping down as executive director of the foundation as of May. She announced that on May the 27th of 2021. According to the report from New York Magazine, three Black Lives Matter leaders, Patrice Colliers, Alicia Garza, and Melina Abdullah, allegedly paid $6 million that was donated to the activist group to buy a 6,500-square-foot mansion. The news for the new purchase has hoped to be kept a secret, despite the three former members reportedly filming a series of YouTube videos dining and drinking outside of the estate last spring. The home was reportedly purchased back in October of 2020 with funds that have been donated as the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation. Diane Pascal purchased it 2 weeks after Black Lives Matter received $66.5 million from its physical sponsor, New York Magazine, reported. Patrice Collier has resigned back in May of 2021. She resigned from the organization as the Black Lives Matter executive director following her criticism for buying three homes in Los Angeles and in Atlanta. Without further ado, I want to go to Clarence M. Allen. You heard it. I just read it off the internet, hot off the press. What do you think about do Black Lives really matter? And what do you think about the Black Lives Matter organization and how they're handling the money that has been donated to them? Go right ahead, Brother Clarence.
Yes. There's just so much about Black Lives Matter. You know, I'm black. I'm alive. I matter. You know, we have to look at, you know, how all this started after the killing of Trayvon Martin.
Yes.
With the acquittal of George Zimmerman, you know, and and it grew after that, and the other shootings we had with Michael Brown, the killing of Eric Gardner, but every time that there was a person of white or law enforcement to kill a black, Black Lives Matter gained momentum off the demise and the killings of black men, basically. And it's just so much into it. So when you look at Black Lives Matter, you don't see any alpha male or straight male men leading the march. No, you see these women, and they, if you read their mission statement, they don't believe in having the heterosexual male as a central figure in the home. They have got millions of dollars after the George Floyd murder, you know, with all the protests, people were sending in millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter. So there's a lot of money. But I think, you know, it's not complete if we don't also come out and protest against black on black murders. You know, everything starts at home, and we have to start protesting against those of our people who are killing us, you know, and it'll make it more valid to protest against those others who are killing us. And so when you look at this, man, to all our listeners, and you look at the Black Lives Matter movement, how people have pocketed money, gained wealth from all these donations, and then you look at Patrice Cullors, who wants to resign. How much money is she taking with her? Well, you know, I hear nothing about the IRS looking into all of these donations. What they're doing is like they've gotten away with, you know, a lot of money without giving it back to those who've been victimized by these tragedies, and they have reaped the benefit from other people's murders, you know, other people's deaths. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is another great hot topic. You know, yes, we matter. We should matter to ourselves first, and matter to each other, and then others will take note of that. But it's kind of hard to go out here and not protest against those of us who is killing us, and only leave it to protesting against others who are killing us. And then when you see these gang bangers out here doing their drive-by, young men were killed this week, and where is Black Lives Matter?
Say that again, brother. Say that one more time. Say that again.
I said we had young men killed by gang bangers this weekend here in Los Angeles. Where is Black Lives Matter?
Is that all you have to say about that, Brother Clarence?
That's it. Thank you, Pastor Eddie.
Let's give a big hand for Brother Clarence and Allen bringing it straight. You heard it right on the show. There's no smoking guns on here. This is the real deal, Holyfield. This is the real deal, Holyfield. You know, a lot of people don't know that Black Lives Matter only supports LGBTQ communities. It does not support heterosexual males. It does not support the alpha male. It does not support a man heading the household of a home. Read it for yourself. I'm not just making this up. I'm reading it right now. Matter of fact, there's an article on the internet right now that says from the start, Black Lives Matter has been about LGBTQ lives, and they fought for LGBTQ to have their civil rights and their constitutional rights and their human rights, and it's just a lot of stuff going on. Okay, it's just a lot to read about, a lot to talk about. So without further ado, I don't want to use up all, too much more time about it, but on the back of George Floyd, on the back of Ahmaud Arbery, on the back of Trayvon Martin, this organization was able to get over $100 million in donations, okay? You know, it's just a lot to take in, because when you trust an organization to support you, to help you, to guide you, to direct you, that's what you want to get from that organization. You don't want to get biasness in a situation where everybody needs some help. Black lives matter. Yes, they do. Black lives do matter. But Black Lives Matter, the organization, they should be reaching out to everybody who needs help, man, woman, or child. Okay? Don't just pick a certain group and just only, you know, help that particular group, because everybody needs help. There's mothers out there crying who have lost their sons to gun and gang violence. There's fathers out there crying. You know, it hurts a man, a father, just as much as it hurts a mother for either one of them to even lose their child to gun or gang police brutality or gang violence. It's a pain that everybody can understand. It doesn't matter if you're a female or a male. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. The pain is still the same. It hurts to go walk up somewhere and see your child shot up in the street by the police or by another African-American person or person of color. So with that being said, I'm going to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, what do you think about the organization spending $6 million on a house and then buying other houses in other places, using millions of dollars of donations that were supposed to go out to help other people, but instead Black Lives Matter, and which caused the executive board to resign from their seats, and they took that money with them. So go right ahead, Vera. How do you feel? Take the floor.
I just feel that they should change the name of their organization from Black Lives Matter, because that is not being a part of this. It should be that any nationality that needs help within the community, I feel that it should be given back to the community. Perhaps more law enforcement, more people that are out there to help and assist with the gang war that we're having, the gang, the drugs, the violence. And we've come a long way, and we've traveled the desert and been to the mountaintop, but we still have a long way to go. And I feel that if we stick together and, we can't call it Black Lives Matter because they use that already. And it's not as if they're giving the right to help some blacks that are definitely in need. So I must say that we must still continue to keep looking up. And we have a lot of black scholars out there and Black History Month and so many things that we've come a long way from. And we have to stand up and keep going. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. All right, let's give a big hand for her. Thank you, Vera. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, I got to tell you, all the way from Florida, South Beach, Florida, we got our co-producer, Cousin V, in the studio. Good morning, Cousin V. How are you? Everybody say good morning to Cousin V.
Morning, Cousin.
Good morning, Cousin V.
Good morning, Cousin V.
Good morning. I'm sorry for coming on so late, but I worked last night, and I had to make a turnaround and go back right after the show. So thank everyone for your support.
And we're so happy to hear you, Cousin V, and I know you're down there in Florida. But without further ado, our mental health specialist is on the show with us, Aretha Adams-Jones. Everybody say good morning to Aretha Adams-Jones. Good morning, Aretha.
Good morning, Aretha.
Good morning, Dr. Aretha.
Good morning. Morning to you all. Happy Monday.
Oh, wow, I am so excited. Now, I'm going to go to Cousin V first. Cousin V, Black Lives Matter, the executive board members have stepped down, and they spent donations like $6 million on a mansion and some more millions on houses in L.A. and Atlanta What do you want to say about Black Lives Matter doing that?
Well, that's not the only black organization that I know that doesn't reach out and help others, because even in the Cancer Society, my daughter reached out to one of the known cancer foundations, and we march and we help them out every year too, but we stop supporting them because they're not helping and doing the things that they say. We called when she first found out she had cancer like 2 years ago, and we never, ever got a call back from them. Now, I can't tell you, I know American Cancer Society does truly help people. They've helped us with gas for the past year or longer, and they also with my sister. So I know that they are, but the Black Lives Matter, I did hear about that last year, about the executives not really doing what they were supposed to do and getting rich and making themselves places. But I do know that God will prevail, and they will be investigated. They think they're getting away with it right now, but we know for sure they will be investigated, just like all the movie stars that have lost money to the IRS. I'm sure they're looking into it. They're just waiting to get enough evidence against them.
Wow, wow. Thank you so much, Cousin V, all the way out there in Florida. All the way in Florida. Thank you very much. Now, I want to go to Aretha Adams Jones. Aretha, you know, Black Lives Matter made $100 million and even more than that on donations. And the executive board members have stepped down and took X amount of, I don't know how much money with them, but you can read the articles for yourself that they only focus on the LGBTQ community as far as supporting. They didn't support no men, and it was an all-woman organization. They bought these homes and mansions and spent millions of dollars on these homes and mansions and fancy cars. What do you feel about that? Do you feel like, I just want to get your opinion. Go right ahead, Aretha.
Thanks, Dr. Eddie. You know what? This is my first time hearing about, well, I heard about them supporting LGBTQ, and that's all. But I didn't, this is my first time hearing about them buying mansions and cars and things. You know what? I always try to think the best of these organizations, because it seemed like they were doing so, and when I first heard about them, it seemed like they were doing so much to help, you know, the community, African Americans and minorities, and I thought that they were right on point. And it's disappointing to hear this, but as Cousin V said, you know what? The Lord sees, he doesn't miss anything. And sometimes people think they're getting away with things and they are exposed. I'm really sorry that happened. And you know, when you first said it, I said, well, maybe they bought a mansion so they could house some people and help some homeless people. You know, I want to think the best of this situation. Maybe they bought some nice car so they could transfer someone to an appointment, or, you know, pick up some housing people and take them to a food bank. You want to think the best. But it's really unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that. And unfortunately, Pastor Eddie, sometimes people are just tempted with money. They just can't do the right thing. But you are going to be exposed eventually. Some people just can't handle money. But we just have to pray for all those involved and just keep trusting in the Lord, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Salvation. Thanks.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Aretha Adams.
You're welcome.
Now, before we go to Linda Goldie, we got a caller in the 661-436 area code. Caller in the 661-436 area code, are you there? Welcome to the show. Caller in the 661-436 area code, are you there? Okay, maybe they didn't want to say anything. They just wanted to be on the show. Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. Let's see, we got a caller. Caller in the 323-646 area code. Are you there? Call in to 323-646 area code. Are you there? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold, too. Maybe they just want to listen, too. Okay. Linda Goldie, I'm coming to you, Linda Goldie. Black Lives Matter. You know, all lives should matter, but Black lives do matter. But what do you feel, Linda, on the ladies only supporting LGBTQT and spending up millions of dollars of donations on their personal stuff?
I think it's pathetic and outrageous. And I just can't. It's so disappointing to hear that anything that you believe might be doing some good is corrupted. You know, it kind of makes you not want to believe in any kind of organization that says they're going to do something good.
Mm.
So I don't know. That's just my thing. But can I read my poem?
Okay. One moment before you, okay, you know, right before you read your poem, I want to let everybody know, we're getting ready to go into our other segment of the show right now. We're going to hear the sports report. Now, I want you to know it's 10:35 a.m., so everyone be, you know, look at your watch, you know, give everybody their fair time. I want everybody to get what they have to say out. We're going to do our sports report. We're going to do health and wellness. We're going to do mental health in you. We're going to do poetry along, and we're going to do words of wisdom. We're going to do Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual. And then, last but not least, we're going to have Professor Reams with the commentary. You don't want to miss this on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. And without further ado, we're going to have Poetry in Motion right now with Linda Goldie. Following that, we're going to have the sports report. So get your pens and papers out. But before we start the sports our poetry, our word of the week, right? Get your pencil out. Our word of the week. Our word of the week is balance. Our word of the week is balance. Balance your life. Use that word. That's your word of the week. Balance something in your life, okay? Whatever it might be. Balance. Our scripture of the week is Matthew chapter 21, verse 3. And you know, this Saturday we're going into Passover, and, you know, I'll be doing the seven last words at my church. But our scripture of the week is Matthew chapter 21, verse 3, and it reads, "And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them." So I'm going to read that one more time. And if Matthew 21, chapter 3, "And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them." See, the Lord will send people and folk in your life. And this is talking about Jesus in his last, and when he was born. So you want to read this, Matthew 21. You can start from the beginning and read it on down. God bless you. And without further ado, let's go ahead on and get some poetry right now. Linda Goldie, take the floor. Give us Poetry in Motion. Nice and loud.
Okay. This is about the radio program. Good morning, Monday. It's your time to talk. What's happening in your neighborhood? Is it safe to walk? And if you drive to stay alive, what should you take with you? Don't leave your kids at home alone, and help them to get through everything they need to do. Good morning, Monday. What's new on your plate? Are you eating healthy? Please don't hesitate to listen to the segments you don't think you need to hear. Everyone is valuable. I want to make that clear. Good morning, Monday. You might want to share something that's of interest to everyone out there. But time is passing quickly, and others need to speak. So write it down in case you need to wait until next week.
Hey, man, I like that.
That was great.
That was really good. Hey, you know, Linda, you're going to have
the official.
That's amazing. You're going to have to frame that poem and mail it to me. I got to hang it on the wall. That's the radio show poem.
Yes.
From now on, okay?
It flowed. It was so beautiful.
It was very beautiful. Thank you so much, Linda. That is amazing. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Without further ado, it is time for all you sports enthusiasts to get the sports report from the one and only co-producer of our show, Cousin V, the best female sports journalist in the world. Go ahead, Cousin V, take the floor.
Well, first of all, I just want to say I just have to give hats off to Miss Linda. We know that God has given her a gift, because
every time she just comes up with something in a couple of days, she even wrote a poem for me one weekend and called me and told me, and it just flows. So praise God for Miss Linda being on our show. You know, it brings tears to our eyes to hear in the NFL that a young man lost his life right here in Florida. He's just round the corner from me. Florida Atlantic University, he got killed over in that area. They were practicing for the Pittsburgh Steelers training camp. It's Dwayne Haskins. He's 24 years old. Died April the 9th in South Florida. He was a former Ohio State first-round draft pick. He was struck by a dump truck. And it just hurts because, you know, we all have kids, and just to know that somebody's other child is gone just like that. Mm. But anyway, mandatory mini camps will begin June the 14th. That would be all of the NFL. Then also tennis, the Miami Open was held March 23rd through April the 3rd. And I'm going to look more into how to find out the tennis schedule. Also, on last week, we know that the NCAA men's basketball finals that Kansas ended up winning over UNC. Major League Baseball Day opens this week on Thursday the 7th. It was the Astros and the Los Angeles Angels, the Diamondbacks and the Padres, the Rays and the Orioles on Friday, the Dodgers and the Rockies, the Rangers and the Blue Jays. And then we just want to let you know also that on the 8th was Atlanta Braves hammering Hank Aaron's day. They're making that official. It was the 50-year anniversary. And then this weekend was all about the Masters and Tiger Woods. Although it was the Masters, it was all about Tiger Woods the whole time because I just left it on the Golf Channel for the Masters the whole weekend. It was all about Tiger Woods. And everyone was so happy to see him because he had a comeback from last year. He was in a car accident, and they didn't think he would make it. But anyway, Scottie Scheffler won first place. Rory McIlroy was second place. Shane Lowry and Cameron Smith tied for third, which makes it 3-4. And then Morikawa won fifth place. Also, Harold Varner III, another black golf player, he tied at 23, and Tiger Woods, he came in 47th. But he was just happy to be back out there. And then on next week, the next golf championship will be the RBC Heritage. And then also they have a drivechipandputt.com if you want to sign up your kids for golf. And then just a little bit sports schedule. The NCAA was held on the 4th. The 7th was the Masters and the beginning of the MLB opening. Tonight, Monday, will be the WNBA draft. On Thursday, June 23rd, will be the NBA draft. On Thursday, the 28th through the 30th, it will be the NFL draft. And then May 7th, on a Saturday, will be the Kentucky Derby, and then the Stanley Cup will also begin in June. This is my sports report. I just wanted to say we need the men to step up for organizations and start something and take charge in doing something like Black Lives Matter. But we need some men in those organizations too, not just the women. This is my sports report. Have a blessed week.
Let's give a big hand to Cousin V. Let's give her a big hand. Wow. Wow. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful. Okay. Without further ado, and we're going to be conscious of time, it's 10:44. We want to get everybody in. Let's go to health and wellness with Vera Jones. Vera Jones, please take the floor. Give us health and wellness.
Okay, Eddie. Thank you. So today I will speak about hair loss, alopecia areata. And I must say that our hair is usually our crown and our glory all over our body. So alopecia is caused by an autoimmune disorder, and sometimes it causes scarring, and most of the time our body is attacking our cells, and it's usually stress-related. So sometimes it also happens, we have hair loss, and it happens after doing menopause, hormonal changes like childbirth, during or after, and what it will make us feel is like stressful, and sometimes we may not be eating properly, we have a vitamin deficiency, and we have poor circulation. But some medications or surgery or acute illness, along with the thyroid disorder, may cause alopecia as well. Now, diabetes plays a strong role in it too. Now, with drugs and then with skin disorders, that is another component of the alopecia. Now, sometimes our scalp may feel like a little itchy, scratchy. Our hair is thinning. Sometimes it's hereditary, and other times it's genetics. So what we can do is add a little TLC by massaging your scalp with your fingertips, or if you purchase a massager, and be mindful to pray and journal and use some natural shampoos, conditioners, and body wash. And make sure you get some vitamin D out there, but cover your hair first with a silk scarf and, you know, some cotton, because we need that. Your hair needs and your scalp needs to breathe. Now, due to the sake of time, I'm just going to mention a couple of herbs or supplements that may help, or essential oils. So I would suggest biotin and vitamin B for growth, vitamin C for circulation, and aloe vera, if you have some in your yard, put that on your scalp before you wash your hair. Make some sage tea for a hair rinse and apple cider vinegar rinse. And let's get back to vitamin E, because that helps give oxygen to our scalp. Zinc is used to stimulate the immune function of our hair. And don't forget about kelp, because it provides us with a lot of different minerals. Now, horsetail and silica, along with rosemary, helps to strengthen and helps out with our nerve tissue. And last but not least, make sure you could do a at-home hair mask. What's in your refrigerator? Eggs are really great for that, or just a mayo. With the oils to use, I would suggest castor oil, coconut, olive, almond, alma, and jojoba. And if you have any essential oils, use them when you are on a scalp treatment. And my favorites would be to stimulate my scalp, because I went through a period of alopecia myself, and I am so grateful and happy to have my hair again. But what you can use is tea tree, frankincense, lavender, peppermint, rosemary, ylang ylang, bergamot, and my other favorite is cedarwood. Now, don't forget lavender, and I love you all. And if you know someone that has alopecia, perhaps you could tell them some of the things to help and assist them to make a better way with their scalp, from head to toe. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Vera, so much.
Wonderful.
Health and wellness. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You're in the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. And without further ado, it is time for Mental Health and You. For all you taboo people who are taboo about mental health, no, say it loud. Mental health is something that we should be proud of talking about. Without further ado, affectionately known as Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones, but she's not a doctor yet, but she will be. Take the floor. Give us mental health.
God bless you, Pastor Eddie, and to all the hosts and the listeners. Today I'm coming to you with the importance of motivation. And people often think that everyone is born with with motivation, just being motivated and having motivational skills. But it is a skill, and it's not a lot of people are not born with that. And I really like the article that was put out in Psychology Today by Natalie Cook. And she said that motivation clarifies goals, it sets priorities in life, it helps you push through setbacks, it teaches perseverance, it fights against fear, it builds self-confidence. And in closing, she said, if you want to achieve greatness, stop asking for permission, because motivation doesn't ask questions. It just aligns you to work towards your goals. Remember, mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you, and have a great Monday.
All right.
Thank you,
all right. Wonderful.
Amen.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Every day.
That was beautiful. That was wonderful. We're moving right along, and time is 10:50 a.m., so we're going to go to Talana Jones. Talana Jones for words of wisdom. Talana, take the floor and give us words of wisdom.
All right. Thank you, Dad. Welcome, everyone. Today's words of wisdom I wrote in honor of my birthday trip, and this was something that I feel is necessary for every person to hear, so I pray you enjoy. It's called Still Rich by me, and it reads, royalty is in your spirit, melanin in your skin, courage in your heart, learning you are set apart. Many are called, but few are chosen to love, to awaken love to no end through light and the darkness. You are our strength, priceless and true. We are still rich because I know you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise. Amen. That was wonderful. That was very, very, very nice. That was very nice. Thank you so much, Talana. You know, happy birthday to you again. And we're counting down now. It's 10:51 a.m. We're going to go right to Clarence and Mallon with Regulate the Manual. And following him, we're going to have one more poem from none other than Linda Goldie, and then we're going to go directly into the commentary. Clarence and Mallon, please take the floor. Regulate the Manual.
Let me just say personally, good morning, Cousin B, Dr. Rika. I didn't get to say it when you came on. Thank God, my wife, her birthday was yesterday, so a shout out to Eleanor Allen. But
yeah.
Anyway, who can tell me?
Happy
I'm going
birthday.
To get to the dentist next. I'm going to get to the dentist next week because we still need to do a few more inspections here before some of these gangbangers in the house are banged. Who can tell me what is a bona fide gangbanger? Do you know what is a bona fide gangbanger? These are many more questions. There are some very good questions to get some answers for. Trying to get these questions alone can be a very hard thing to handle because there are different kinds and styles of gangbangers. You may never see two gangbangers alike. I do not think there are two gangbangers who will beat you down exactly alike. While one gangbanger may beat you down this way, the other gangbanger will definitely beat you down that way. Every gangbanger most likely will have their own way of beating you down. We need a couple of volunteers to sample a beatdown from a couple of gangbangers. Stand up if you are man enough. All of those who are still sitting down, get rid of them. It is getting very easy weeding out the fraud. A true bona fide gangbanger is on call 24/7 for a beatdown. If you're a true bona fide gangbanger, why were you scared to get up? Maybe you did not have all of your homies with you. Well, anyway, do you think that all gangbangers take their stuff the same way? In the end, and under many different and given circumstances, the end results will always usually end up with the same closures. The closures are where somebody will have to be gotten beat down. Those are the facts. Way, way back in the day when the stories were told and when they all started out with fee, five, four, five, a gangbanger back in those days was a one-man wrecking crew. Way back in those days, a gangbanger did not have to carry a gun. A gangbanger way back in those days did not even carry a knife or any other kind of weapon. And we're going to stop there because of our time. We want to give time for the man who always comes with the world's greatest commentary. I tried on every shoe last week. I could not fit any of your shoes, Professor Ring. God bless you. God keep you. Everybody have a wonderful week.
Let's give a big happy Clarence to Allen. All right, Clarence. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Wow. Look, we're going to go back to Linda Goldie and get a quick poem, and then we're going to go right into the commentary with Professor Reams. Linda Goldie, please take the floor. Give us Poetry in Motion one more time. Oh, my gosh, what happened? Let's see. Linda? Okay, Linda, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Linda, are you there? Oh, we can hear you
yes,
now. Go right
here.
Ahead, Linda. Okay, give us Poetry in Motion one more time.
Okay. Letting go gets easier. It lightens up your load, and what you lost is now replaced along your present road with someone or with something you now consider dear, because the road winds upward and some are left right here. Letting go gets easier when you lose your grip on all the excess baggage you don't need for your trip. To give away might make the day for someone who has need, and letting go gets easier to be a friend indeed.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much, Linda Goldie, and thank you so much, Linda. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. Thank you. You know, I have a lot of her points, but without further ado, and what a show we've had today, it is time for one of the most important parts of the show, and that's the commentary. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones, and once again, a fantastic show. And we'll try to do it within time so we can end on time. Now, one of the things that I want to do is thank you, Pastor Jones, for giving us our 15 minutes of fame each Monday, which is a joy to be part of. Thank you, Cousin V, for the sports and the best sports reporting ever. Thank you, Clarence Allen, for the Regulate the Manual and keeping us abreast of your wisdom and on dealing with how life is. To Dr. Granny V, my favorite doctor, always, always on helping us with everything but physical and also our nutritional health. To Talana, wisdom, knocked it out of the bottle. The words of wisdom is always my favorite part, along with all the other sections. Dr. Aretha, you've just motivated me once again to continue to do what we do best. And finally, to Linda Goldie, I got two hugs, and I'm feeling rather warm. So now, everyone, let's take a look at Linda Har with the recent report with dealing with Will Smith, dealing with the Will There Be Reparations, and also dealing with Black Lives Matter. This is the call that Linda mentioned that he told us that money and fame isn't everything as we would consider it to be. We have the Will Smith, but then we also have our word of the week of balance. Since we've had this incident, we have the wonderful balance of Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson being placed as our first black woman, our wonderful queen, as part of the Supreme Court. Yes, we are faced with odds that are against us for the election year, but this is when we get it all right, where this part of the reparations is being done finally in our call. And when we get to the idea of other aspects of reparations going on, yes, it's not happening nationwide, but at least California and other states are looking at it, and we could see the example that California sets, because so does California does, so goes the nation. So whatever we put together, other states are going to put together. And then the good Lord has opened it up to quote what we've talked about, that we, as Obama mentioned, are the change that we believe in. So when we go to what our words of wisdom, Talana Jones has mentioned, is the fact that we are rich because he knows us, if I may paraphrase it in that sense. He knows what we're capable of. He knows what our love is. He knows that when we're following him, that we will take the information, do what is necessary, and continue to move on and keep on moving with it until we achieve that goal, because we are motivated to persevere Because let's think about it. Dr. Granville asked the question, could we have endured what was going on during slavery, during that time? And the, of course, our biggest answer is no. But we had the blessings of our founders, of our ancestors, who were strong enough, tough enough, persevered enough, motivated enough to make a difference so that we'd be standing here with our Supreme Court Justice, with our Vice President, and ultimately also our President, Barack Obama, in place. Now, we do have the balance of sadness going on, because with Black Lives Matters, there is the issue of where we fall. But once again, the good Lord says, look, that's just an organization. People create the organization. People can change the organization. Continue to follow me, because when you do, we can do anything. And there are more organizations, as Cousin Z mentioned, than we are just one. So let us all pull together. Let's get together and be mindful and be loving as we push forward as he, because he knows us, would like us to do. And with that, that's my commentary. I yield back to you, Pastor Chuck.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, the best commentator.
Amen. Wow. We love you, Professor Reed.
Oh, you know, representing every brilliance.
Yes, I love you all, too. And you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. It's been a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful show. I want to thank all my co-producers. I want to thank all the co-hosts. I want to thank everybody that's listening in wherever you are in the United States and wherever you are around the world. Everybody on Facebook Live, thank you so much. I love you for your support. I just want to say this to you. Whatever you do, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. And remember that the best is yet to come. And also remember that the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. God bless you. Peace, joy, love, and happiness. But you know what the real question is? The real question is, what's going on? Talk to y'all later. Peace. I don't own the rights to this music. Amen, amen. I don't own the rights to this music. But everybody sing along with me, okay? Come on.
Let's have some balance.
Sing along. Come on, Dr. Aretha. Everybody. Come on, Clarence.
Mother, everybody seems to have it wrong.
me wrong.
Oh,
you hate to judge us simply because our hair is long. Oh, you know you've got the time to change. My big daddy
today.
Come on. Come on and talk to me. Oh, could you guess me? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? Until you don't come to me. Right. All right, y'all. Take care. God bless you. I love you. Peace.